Hit record. We're recording. Huzzah!
Yay!
Baltimore Brandon. Checking in from the OC. Holy shit, dude.
Down in the ocean, hon.
Down in the ocean. How is your vacation?
Vacation has been outstanding, other than Monday it being like a torrential downpour down here.
Yeah.
The rest of the week's been really nice so far.
Awesome. What have you been geeking on out there in the OC? Can we see? Can you do a turnaround? Can we see what's going
yeah.
on?
Yeah, here. Let's see. So we have a place on the fourth floor. It's a nice three-bedroom condo. And that's my view of the beach from my balcony.
Oh, shit. That's awesome.
So, and then the rest of it, cutting back around... my view of Ocean City, and then I can actually see the bay from here as well.
Cool.
So, yeah. So it's been nice. I've been geeking about not having any responsibilities and learning that left to my own devices, other than eating terrible things because fuck it, it's vacation. I'm actually a surprisingly healthy man, which is weird.
Huh.
Like
that's not
yeah.
what vacation is for.
No, I didn't think so, but I think it's the fact that this entire island is, like, flat as hell.
Mm.
So I'm able to get in an almost 11-mile bike ride every day with no effort at all, just very minimal.
That's too much exercise, man. Fuck that shit.
Nonsense. I've been drinking all my wife's family under the table every night, too.
Nice.
Yeah, we managed to shut down the bar the first night we were there. Between two different bars in the same club and about a $500 tab.
Holy crap, dude. Oh my God.
Yeah. I got up the next morning and went bike riding. My wife's uncle, on the other hand, decided to spend the entire day in bed, curled up in a fetal position. And I know how he was curled up because later in the afternoon, I decided to rub it in. Went and skateboarded down to the bar, go bought him a t-shirt from the bar and delivered it to him bedside, which
here's a souvenir of me kicking your ass.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So, it's basically been me beating up on a bunch of hardcore Republicans who call me soft all the time and watching them all cower and hug toilets as I get up in the morning and victoriously bike ride and send Instagram photos of me having a great time, not hungover at all.
That's
turns out
right.
Human, yeah, turns out believing in human rights makes me strong like bull.
I mean, that was obvious. Fuck fascism. I can drink you under the table, bitch.
What? So, yeah. So I killed two of my wife's cousins last night drinking as well. So
nice. Have you seen any movies?
No. Why would I watch any movies?
I don't know. Like, that's something we usually do on vacation. We try to see a movie.
Yeah. We may end up going. I got a little sunburnt on my back the other day. And sorry about the wind. I don't know how much or how little it can actually pick up.
Your mic is good, man. We can't hear shit.
Awesome. So there, I got a little bit of sunburn on my back from being out in the ocean. So we may end up taking a day out of the sun today just to kind of let myself heal a little bit.
Yeah.
But other than that, I don't plan on watching any movies. I plan on bitching about one, but...
Oh, okay.
I assume that's what our topic is today. I actually did research.
Well, you did research. I didn't. I thought we were just going to dick around and talk about vacation and shit. Let me see. What did we do?
Yeah, we don't need to... to do that.
All right.
What are you geeking out about this week?
I see what we're oh my God, I don't really want to talk
yeah.
about that.
Oh.
Jesus Christ, oh my God.
Oh yeah.
All right, well, anyway, Jim Morlock came down over the weekend to help plans stuff for the future, toys and all this kind of stuff. But he also
Hang on. People should understand context. This is a sometimes business partner, sometimes co-creator, the person that you go in with for a future potentially in creating toys. And is that correct?
Yeah, that's the entire reason I was out at San Diego Comic-Con, to kind of scope out, you know, the landscape and make connections in the toy business, because we're trying to get our indie toy company off the ground and stuff.
Yeah.
So he came down to hang out for, because he lives in Philly and we're down here in Maryland. So he came down to kind of hang out and to do some follow up from the show. And like, you know, we have some potential clients already, which is very hopeful.
Nice.
But he helped, he set up the one of the many 3D printers that we have acquired over the years. A PrinterBot, which is a small form FDM printer. FDM printing is where you take a spool of plastic
filament.
And it shoots it out in, like, you know, the old dot matrix printers where they go line by line. So that's what the FDM printers do. They take the goo or the plastic and squirt it out as goo and then build up your print layer by layer.
Gotcha.
So
that was what you used to build the thing that you posted on Instagram and Facebook everywhere, that weird, awesome looking cat. Like, it's funny. The idea of a cat having a laser gun inside of its mouth isn't necessarily you. That look, that weird, like, Y squint, that is very Jamie.
So I've been modeling things for a while now for clients and then for practice in anticipation of us getting this shit off of the ground. And so I'm testing out some of the future products that we're working on, and one of them is this little cat dude. This is a lot bigger than the final product is going to be, but I just couldn't resist, you know, printing it out bigger.
It makes sense. It also makes a really cool, like, tabletop bust sort of thing to have.
Yeah. You know, it's not that high resolution. You can see the stepping if I bring it up to the light. If I wanted to sand it down and get it nice and smooth, I could do that. Or I could do the acetone bath vapor thing, which is poisonous, so I'm not going to do that.
I used to get into the acetone stuff when I was doing the Warhammer toilets and figure models and stuff like that. And
yeah,
that's nasty.
Yeah, it smells like ass. Yeah. But I also printed out a bust of Riri Williams, a new Ironheart Iron Man suit. That's going to be in the comics. The writer Jim Zub, he posted like concept art of the suit, and I was like, Jim, I need to see the back of this sketch so I can model it and make toys and all this kind of stuff. And he was like, all right, slow down.
I love the fact that you buzzed somebody, was like, hey, can I see the back? And he's like, one, slow down, and two, fuck yeah, let's do the thing.
Yeah.
Jimmy Noguchi just cold calling other creators so that you can make tribute shit and immediately getting everyone else's attention.
Well, I know Jim from, like, the old Udon days, because he was, like, a project manager over there.
Okay,
so
all right.
He at least remembers my name and remembers me by sight. I don't know how much he remembers of me. So I bugged him about it, and then when he got permission from Marvel, they posted the concept art and all that kind of stuff. So
that sentence is great, by the way.
What?
When he got permission from Marvel.
Oh, yeah.
That means there was an email chain that was sent up the ladder. Someone Googled you and went, yeah, all right, fuck it, let it happen.
Well, it's more of like they don't want to spoil too much in the comics, I guess. I don't know.
Right. No, I get it. It's their property. They protect the shit out of it.
Yeah, so meanwhile, while we're prototyping things of this nature, I'm going to start making little toys that I can sand down and maybe do some resin casting to learn more of the process. But hopefully sell some of these on my site along with, you know, as we're gearing up more stuff. So I'm trying to get more shit out there.
Gotcha. And this is a different process than the Monster Cutie skulls that you had done a while back. Those were all resin cast, right?
Those were all resin cast. Those were all done in China.
Okay. Gotcha.
So
this would be smaller scale, one-off,
like
hand-done things.
You know, if I can learn how to resin cast I might need to invest in a pressure pot, but I'll see how far I go down that rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Because that could be kind of crazy.
Yep, I'm sure, and probably expensive.
Yeah. So, but yeah,
Right on.
making things. Also, there's like a chicken that I have, and then there's like a shark. Like a shark thing that I have, so we're working on these things.
Okay.
They're gonna be four of them, eventually, and this is like
Okay.
a component of the toy that we're making. So more on this
Okay.
as it develops.
Awesome. That's super rad.
All right, so I just looked at our notes. The subject that we are going to be talking about is the L. Ron Hubbard inspired Battlefield Earth. I think you put this down in our
Yeah.
list
Yes, I did.
because I would not want to touch this particular property with a 1,000-foot pole.
What can I ask why? Is it the L. Ron Hubbard thing? Is it the Scientology thing? Is it you just don't like John Travolta? Like what? It's just the whole package
The
together.
whole package, like
I think that's a key thing of this concept, though. You take something that is genuinely considered bad, and I understand even beloved in some communities at this point, but loved because it's so bad, and you try and make it work.
yeah, I think if you ignore all the bullshit surrounding it, like the Scientology bullshit and the different levels of like kidnapping and all that kind of stuff,
Right.
and like the fact that it was only a success because John Travolta sent all the Scientologists to buy tickets and all that kind of stuff. Like the bull.
Okay, one. It's not a success. It's still never made back its actual budget. So it is definitely losing things. Trust me, don't let the spin machine get it otherwise. This film never actually made enough money to turn a profit.
That's funny as shit. Well, anyway, like I think the bullshit surrounding it is tainting my view of the movie. 'Cause like
Okay.
if you watch the movie on its own, it's bad, but it's hysterical. Like it's
Right.
unintentionally funny. Like John
Right.
Travolta just chewing up scenery and just overacting to the gills is
Right.
hysterical. Like the lead character has no charisma at all, and you know, it's just
What, Barry Pepper?
yeah.
Okay,
He's
so
just a pretty face and
Barry
nice
Pepper
hair.
is, you gotta understand, Barry Pepper is 1990s Jeremy Renner. When
Yes.
used properly, he can be very good. Case in point, if you haven't seen it, one of my personal favorite movies, a movie called 61, directed by Billy Crystal, starring also Thomas Jane as Mickey Mantle and Roger Maris coming up through 1961, 61 season, and the hunt for the baseball title, and how Mickey was loved but complete trash and falling apart, and Mantle was the squeaky clean all-American guy with the two kids and the white picket fence and everything else, and hated throwing things like chairs at his head in
Oof.
Yankee Stadium. Hated,
Yeesh.
and the story arc of that is super good. So if you get the opportunity, go find it. I don't even know. I assume you can just Google it or whatever it is. It'll probably
Probably,
be
yeah.
cheap at this point, but super enjoyable and one of my favorite sports movies. But it's why I don't dislike Barry Pepper. I don't know if I'd recast him. I probably would, because at this point now you want to go with a younger cast. But there's a couple things I do want to go through here. Now I'm not going to explain the plot. I assume that if you're in for this conversation, you understand what Battlefield Earth is, at least to a concept. And you probably don't remember all of it. You probably just remember things like Travolta's this and that. All right, so I want to kick a few things around first and foremost,
Okay.
right? We all agree that this is a bad movie, right?
Sure.
Okay. Does anyone have an issue with Rogue One? More importantly, Forrest Whitaker in Rogue One.
Oh, sure. People were disappointed that Forrest Whitaker was not used more in Rogue One. He shows up in two scenes and he just
Right.
says
Okay.
things.
Right. Right. Chews up a bit of scenery, has trouble breathing,
Right.
and looks kind of badass and kind of grandstands.
Boggle it will break
Right.
your
Okay.
brain.
So Forrest Whitaker plays John Travolta's right hand in this movie. Yes. As a 9 foot tall guy in a giant suit of armor who is unable to breathe Earth's atmosphere.
Okay.
Who delivers a couple lines and doesn't really get the opportunity to shine the way he should.
Right.
We love it in Rogue One and we want more of it. Battlefield Earth, he gets a Razzie.
Actually, well, from my perspective, I liked him in Battlefield Earth. Like, I thought, personally, I liked him in that movie.
Same fucking character.
Yeah.
Same fucking character.
Yeah, except not 9 foot tall in Rogue One. But yeah, I liked him in that.
Yeah, but imagine how much more intimidating if he'd have been, if he had to like bend down like Chewbacca through every door frame.
That would be really cool. That would be really cool.
So, for the record, I would not change Forrest Whitaker in this film. I would leave him there.
Yeah.
Okay. Couple other things. So the brief synopsis of this movie, by the way, is Travolta ends up sleeping with a senator's daughter, gets banished to Earth on security detail. Forrest Whitaker's his right hand. Basically, they're using humans as slave labor. Now, the timeline on this is really messed up because supposedly they had imprisoned humanity for 1,000 years.
Oof.
It's the year 3000, and the statement from Travolta when he was grandstanding was, "We conquered your entire planet in 9 minutes." Okay, so that aside, right, we get thousands of years in the future. They're still not really doing anything other than breathing from a bunch of scuba tanks and using everyone on Earth as slave labor.
Mm-hmm.
Barry Pepper runs a group of humans who are like nomadic tribes who aren't under rule in the Rocky Mountains. Incapable, undereducated, obviously, and don't really know what to do. So they're basically like nomadic warrior tribes. I would call them probably a step above cavemen because I think they can actually speak English.
Oh wait, I have to pause. Hold on.
Okay, are we back now?
We're back.
Okay, all right. Sorry guys, we had to take a quick pause here. All right, so I don't remember exactly where I left off, but the point is that Barry Pepper is not quite so capable. He gets captured by Travolta and gets put into a breathing, like a mind machine or something like that. You all right, Jamie? Oh, he's getting calls again.
Sorry. Can you hear this on the mic?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, motherfucker. All right, all right, fuck that guy. All right.
All right, so we're good?
Okay, we're back again.
All right, so the much faster version, Barry Pepper ends up getting smart because he ends up getting in one of those like brain machines. Somehow they have the technology to do all this. They educate Barry Pepper, and they send Barry Pepper out as the only smart human along with a ragtag bunch to go search for gold in irradiated areas because apparently the gas that these aliens breathe explodes when it's exposed to any sort of radiation, right? So Travolta's theory is if he gets rich and gets enough gold, he can buy his way back home.
Wait, so gold is
somehow galaxy wide is so coveted that this is the short-sightedness of L. Ron Hubbard, by the way.
That's assumed, yeah, that gold,
that an entire planet, a galaxy away, still wants gold.
Yeah. Right.
So they hand Barry Pepper. Now this is where you start to lose me with the thought process. He hands Barry Pepper what is essentially a spaceship. And the thing's able to go fly around anywhere on the planet. And he sends him off to go mine. Now, the movie's based in what was left of Denver, Colorado.
Uh-huh.
In the movie version, instead of going out and mining areas that are near nuclear test sites or anything else like that, he just somehow... Well, not somehow, because obviously he's the only one who's smart. He finds himself at Fort Knox, getting gold at Fort Knox. He manages to fly from Denver to Fort Knox without being tracked.
Yeah, like aren't there dudes on the, like, don't they send a guard with him, or are they just assume he's a smarty smart and let him go on his own?
They use his wife and daughter as a hostage.
Oh my God.
Right. So
these aliens are dumb fucks.
Right. So they send Barry Pepper to out into the world. He goes to Fort Knox. Now, this is where the great part is. He finds a military base near Fort Knox. he gets a bunch of the guys that were with him or finds some more big burly guys, finds a military base, manages to power the military base up, finds a bunch of military weapons, and uses a flight simulator to train these cavemen in a week to fly a Harrier jump jet to then go put a strike on the security guy, which is in Denver, Colorado.
I forgot the plot, and now I know why I forgot the plot.
The plot is fucking amazing because it is so Skywalker-esque, where we have to focus on these chodes as the entire universe is happening around them.
Yeah.
But I gotta focus on one fight between a caveman and a security guard.
Yeah, I'm completely tuned out. Like, I want to know more about, like, the universe around the Earth. Like, I don't give a shit about the Earth.
Okay, so the idea is that this movie was supposed to be one of two. It split L. Ron Hubbard's book of the same name into two different parts.
Okay.
But it also took a bit of updated liberal, goddamn giant military helicopter. Sorry about that. I don't know what you can pick up or not. It splits everything up. So they take it upon themselves to do this. Now, in the book version, and this is where I think they fell off, they didn't find Fort Knox. They went to Scotland. And they found themselves a group of ragtag Scots to help them go back and fight these aliens.
Dude, if they get, like, future Connor McLeod of the Clan McLeod, I'm in.
Jamie, we have the ability to turn Barry Pepper into the new Steve Rogers and his Howling Commandos into the best list of Scottish actors that you could possibly have.
I'm there. I'm there.
Talent. Ewan McGregor, James McAvoy, Gerard Butler, David Tennant. The list goes on and on.
Yeah, yeah.
Peter fucking Capaldi.
Peter Capaldi, yeah.
Yelling at all of these great Scottish actors.
Dude.
And because we're asshole Americans and we don't know the difference, we can even hire Billy Connolly as comedy relief to this whole thing.
Karen Gillan would be in it.
We get a ton of great Scottish actors with super thick accents.
I love this already. I need to see this right now. I need to see this.
Fast and the Furious sort of thing. Got the Vin Diesel of the bunch finding his family in Scotland to then go back to Fort Knox, gather the gold. Now, the whole idea of the premise of how they end up winning is apparently every 6 months they end up sending a supply of like minerals and stuff like that that are harvested on Earth back to their home world.
So wait, this takes place 1,000 years in the future, right?
1,000 years in the future.
How are there any minerals left on the planet? Like, we're pretty good at like strip mining our own planet. These are like aliens who have better technology. They beat us in 9 minutes. Like, how is there still shit? Like, why is the Earth just a carved out crater of cheese?
They handed a caveman a spaceship, Jamie. I think they're good at fighting and not a whole lot else.
Okay.
Like, I mean,
So in this remake, do we see the 9 minutes? Do we see the 9 minutes that it took?
I think you have to. I think that has to be what happens. Is you start the movie with like Middle America, or you know, not to take a page away from like Armageddon or anything else like that, but Brooklyn or Washington D.C. or something like that.
Yeah.
You see the ships come over. You see them engulf everything. You see them eradicate half of the population or more.
Yeah.
And then you see them basically flying down, putting a big broadcast out there, and then you just smash cut to, you know, the year is now, you know, 3030 or something like that,
right?
And everything is a desolate husk of what it used to be,
because the first one didn't show us that. So like, sure, they showed the planet in disarray, but like there was nothing menacing about John Travolta's character or his species. They're
again,
just big.
Because The species is supposed to be very menacing, but John Travolta is, again, a security guard.
Yeah.
At his core, he's a security guard. Forrest Whitaker is his lackey.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to give these guys a little more weight.
We need some more oomph.
Yeah, he needs to be a I don't know, a general or something, some sort of reason why he would be there, but he'd still be in charge.
Yeah.
So,
they need some processing on his voice, too, because, like, if when they speak, like, the theater should shake. Like, there should be, like, a deep guttural rumble as they're talking. It should just be like, holy fuck.
Because they're 9 feet tall.
They're 9 feet.
That should work. Right. Yeah. Right. Now, there's going to be some exceptions, and Brock Lesnar has taught us this, that just because you're gigantic and hulking doesn't mean that you can't have the voice of a 12-year-old.
Yeah, but, like, you know, in that case, if you have an alien with a shit voice, you give him a Paul Heyman. You give him Paul Heyman, and Paul Heyman is the mouthpiece.
Fair enough.
Like, okay. I mean, you could even put Paul Heyman in the movie as, like, the human mouthpiece of whatever giant monster you have, and he'd be like, my name is Paul Heyman.
Yeah. Okay, so the whole premise of how they end up beating these guys is apparently they're supposed to send a teleportation out to the homeworld. What they end up stealing from this military base also somehow unguarded. They've had 1,000 years to raid all the military things. They haven't even bothered with it. Somehow they find a dirty bomb. And they set it inside of the dome that was Denver, Colorado. That creates an atmosphere and yada yada, which means it would contain the blast. It would end up, the second it goes off, it ends up causing a chain reaction through the thing, blows a bunch of the other ones up, and in theory, somehow it blows up all the ones on Earth and all of them are gone. In the movie version, or sorry, in the book version, they end up sending back their dead in coffins back to the home world. In the book version, they get a bunch of dirty bombs. And they send them off to the home world and blow up the home world while they're at it.
Nice.
Now, the idea was to only blow up the city and possibly the teleportation device, so this way they couldn't come back. What they ended up doing was creating a chain reaction because they sent the dirty bomb to the home world. It blew up once because the atmosphere has the ability to explode. It caused such a chain reaction and such a large explosion that it turned the planet into a star.
Oh, Jesus.
And because all of the teleporters were still somehow active, and this teleportation technology doesn't actually need a teleporter at the other end, so similar to, like, picking up Kirk off the planet and not needing the pedestal thing.
Yeah.
They were so when they go to do the six-month check-in, all they do is teleport the scorching hot radiation from the sun into these domes and killing every one of these places across the galaxy, eradicating entire seas.
Holy shit. What? That is so much better than the movie.
No shit.
Holy shit.
How do you miss it? Like, hang on a second. I think I wrote down what the actual thing. Okay, so, by the way, the Barry Pepper's character has possibly one of the worst names I've ever heard. It's Johnny Good Boy Tyler, which okay. The quote from the Wikipedia article, and take that as you will, for the book, says, Johnny's dirty nukes were meant to only destroy the capital city, but instead started a chain reaction which reached into the planet's core due to overmining by the Silos, which is the name of the race, exploding planet Silo and creating a sun. At the time, other Silo facilities scattered about the multiple universes where they were destroyed by their own reliance on the teleportation as they performed their scheduled teleportation shipments, and instead brought back radioactive solar metal. This holocaust killed all the children and all the fertile females and the primary source of vital breath gas, thus about the death of Silos everywhere.
Jesus. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That is how you end a goddamn alien invasion movie.
Yeah, and you do it in one, because I don't think you can do two movies out of this bullshit. You do it in one and done.
You do it in one, but that last bit of that, like, almost 80s Schwarzenegger-esque line that you'd have to do before you sent the dirty bomb through the teleporter.
Yeah.
I don't know what you say. I haven't figured out the way to punch up that line yet enough.
Yeah.
That alone is amazing.
Yeah. And then and then they get back, they learn that they killed all of them, and they're like, whoops.
But my assumption would be is that they go to fly around or whatever it is, and there's just explosions everywhere. And then Earth slowly rebuilds itself, and somehow they start from scratch. And poor Johnny, by the way, who's the only smart human left on the planet anymore because he's the only one educated at all in 1,000 years of oppression, dies a slow death around a bunch of really, really simple people. That's the part that we don't talk about. He's managed to save the Earth, but who cares?
Yeah, because everyone's a dumb dummy.
He's the only one who understands TV and what Hot Pockets used to be. And now he has to run around with these toddlers with spears.
Oh my god. So that would be the coda. That would be the special feature that they shot and realized they couldn't put this in the film because it's too much of a downer.
It's too much of a downer, right. Right. He's become Space Hitler and then has to live this Sisyphus-style life for the rest of his existence.
Well, that begs the question, like, once you get rid of the silos, there's got to be another alien race that comes in and takes over, because there's always going to be a power vacuum. And, like, if you have a dictatorship, like, if they've spread their claws throughout the galaxy, there's got to be some other alien race
and
that's out
there.
This
is where you could do a sequel, but not on Earth.
Yes.
You go to another planet where they had been invading or whatever it is, and you come to find out, similar to a situation in the Middle East where the silos were actually peacekeeping in between two warring races, we ended up starting a civil war.
Oh my god. See, and that would be great for like a sci-fi series or something like that. That would be awesome.
Or we use this as the way to start the Kree and Skrull fight.
Oh!
And we tie this into the Marvel Universe because Disney's going to fucking own anything, everything anyway.
Well, then how do you get over the fact that it takes place...
You just don't start on Earth.
Oh, okay.
You just don't start on Earth.
Okay.
You can literally redo... Like, and honestly, if there's any lesson to be learned from the prequels, is that so long as you pick acceptable stereotypes, we can apply them to other races. No one's gonna get angry when a bunch of space Scots show up.
I love space Scots. I'm there for space Scotland.
Yeah, I mean, we could just use the same actors and just put, like, you know, some pointy ears on them or something like that. Yeah. We're gonna have to keep this budget low. It's still a Scientology movie.
Right. But I love the idea that, like, once you get rid of the silos, then the actual real fight begins.
Right. Yeah. We could do a whole thing. But
because the silos seem pretty incompetent. Like,
right.
they've had control over the Earth, and all that they've managed to do is to strip mine it poorly. Like, right. that just sounds really dumb.
They're a 600-pound gorilla looking for a nap. They'll sleep wherever they want, but if you can get rid of the gorilla, everything's solved.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here's my idea. We recast someone else as Johnny Goodboy. We recast that name. Unless we actually do a tie-in, and it's not Johnny Goodboy, it's Johnny Utah, and we get Keanu Reeves back into it. 1,000 years in the future... The great, 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 great grandson of Keanu Reeves.
Johnny Utah.
Played by Keanu Reeves.
That's amazing. I was thinking if you wanted to go even more like clean cut kind of thing, you get a John Cena.
I mean, sure. I don't know where you get the kind of cable machines to get that sort of definition out in the woods, but yeah, let's do that.
Well, I mean, if he's a miner, all he's doing is pumping stuff all day. Lifting and hacking.
I guess. I mean, I figure just maybe with Game of Thrones, if they've taught us anything, is that there's a wealth of angry, hairy dudes out there that you could cast in this role.
That's true.
And if you don't give him a lot of lines and you treat it the way it is, where he only really has to understand complete sentences for the second half of the movie. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that's my idea.
Okay.
A ragtag redemption story of one American who manages to become the smartest guy in the room by accident, a greedy John Travolta in platform shoes, and a bunch of Scottish people as comedy relief.
Yeah.
I feel like I just played the longest version of the Aristocrat. Like, just...
Yeah, well, do we want our John Travolta? I don't even know what the fuck he's called. Do we want him to be menacing, or do we want him to still be kind of stupid and inept?
I think you can do both. If 80s villains have taught us anything a la Skeletor or, Cobra Commander, they can be menacing and somehow in charge, but also falling short in a lot of ways. You could end up treating him like a Starscream style character, where his greed ends up getting in his own way and he ends up doing stupid things to basically spite himself.
Yeah. Who do we want for that?
That I don't know. I need to pick... I don't want them to necessarily be hulking and evil. I think we can let the prosthetics do a lot of that work.
Yeah.
Someone with a good voice. If I'm thinking of anyone who would play this well, I don't want to go Fifth Element and pick like a Gary Sinise or anything else like that. I'd want to go Sam Rockwell, personally.
Oh, that would be good.
He chews up scenery like crazy.
Yeah, that would be nice.
He can have a lot of fun. He can definitely carry a script. And any sort of scenes where you'd need to have grandstanding, you need to have somebody with the acting chops capable, he's definitely that guy.
Yeah. I could see it. What about Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's fine. Honestly, if we just want to make this a really big allegory for how the Scots were oppressed by the English, we can do that too.
Oh, shit. Oh, we have to do that. We have to do that. We have to do that. There has to be... See, science fiction holds up a mirror to society and points out all of the problems with things. We've added a new layer to this whole fucking thing.
You know what? Fuck it. We can screw over two Hollywood douchebags. We can turn this into Space Braveheart.
Yeah.
We can.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. Though I honestly can say I probably wouldn't fix Braveheart because I still love that movie. We can still throw stones at him.
Yeah. Oh
just
God.
For funsies.
Oh man. Oh man. I love that. I love the idea of it being like an allegory of the British and the Scottish, like, fuck.
Yeah.
Plus space thing and the genocide and, like, civil war.
That's what I'm saying. Jamie, I think really the big fix for this is one movie, not two.
Yes.
Add a ton of Scottish people.
Yes.
Because they're great.
Yes.
And just make the damn thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you really need much else. Oh, and the giant Holocaust thing at the end, because that ending is incredible.
Oh yeah, everything getting blown up, like different
like,
planets.
I read that and I was like, that whole chain reaction idea, that one moment of brilliance on their behalf or bravery ended up just basically undoing an entire species.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
that's insane.
Yeah, sitting on that gold mine, the same guy who named a character Johnny Good Boy Tyler fucking comes up with the best space Holocaust I've ever heard of.
Yeah. Yeah.
The fuck?
That was like, that's crazy.
That's such range in between brilliance and bullshit.
Yeah. Why wasn't any of that in the movie?
This is what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. You were worried, like, you were concerned about going into this one. I'm telling you, man, there's meat on the bone here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now I'm into it. Now I want to see this.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah, the second I read the book version, the plot synopsis, I found that they didn't go to Fort Knox, they went to Scotland, I got fucking excited.
Yes.
And just started making notes.
Oh, I love the Scottish. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I think that's really how we fix everything. Giant space explosions and Scottish people.
Space Scots, yes. Space future Scots. Caveman Scots.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God, dude. We could literally just have it be great British actors versus great Scottish actors.
Oh God.
We could cast Idris Elba. We could cast Cumberbatch.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh my
and honestly,
God.
Since half the Game of Thrones cast is out of work at this point, or looking for new projects since Thrones is over, we can just cherry pick who we want.
That would be great. That would be amazing.
Because the guy who plays the Hound is Scottish too.
Oh well, fuck.
Yeah,
he would be great as a resistance fighter.
Fuck it, we could put Jon Snow against the Hound. Space Jon Snow versus the Hound.
Oh my God, do we get Jon Snow as Johnny John good,
no, no, no,
good
no.
face?
You have to make him the bad guy. I have to uglify him just a little. I want to see his acting chops.
Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't get to wear like gigantic black capes and let his hair flow in the breeze.
I think he would be good as a evil alien dude.
I think he'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. We just literally just let it be the English and the Scottish just fighting it out.
Man. I'm there for all of this.
I'm not saying I can solve everything, but I think I can help with a lot.
Yeah. Well, I'm here. We should send this out to the world so that someone in Hollywood picks up this thread and says, you know what? We can make this happen. And then we should get some money off of that shit, some royalties and shit.
That'd be not, at the very least, a consulting thing. Hire me, just a storyboard. Look, you know what I mean? You don't have to fly me out. Clearly, I can Skype this from anywhere. Yeah. I'm a hard worker. I'm on vacation. I'm here with you. I can do this. Hollywood, I'm here. I'm working East Coast time. I'm putting notes together on the beach. I'm working always.
Yeah.
I just need a paycheck.
And the great thing, this would be fun, too. It wouldn't be, like, over serious and, like, super up its own ass. I think there would be an element of fun with this one.
Jake Minoguchi, there has been a rash of remakes, and I think you need a team of people to help guide these shitty remakes into reality. And you and I are those people.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. We got something here.
Listen up, Hollywood. I bring the white privilege action. Jamie Noguchi makes sure that nothing's racist and terrible. We're going to do this together. It's going to be just fine.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know if there's any more we could do with this. This is great.
I don't think we have to.
This is awesome.
I think we're good.
Yeah. Now I fucking want to see this. Jesus Christ. And I don't want to give them any more money. Like, I don't want to give the Scientologists any more money, but I would pay to see this dumb fucking thing.
But Jamie, say the full sentence. I would pay to see this version as Battlefield Earth.
I would definitely pay to see this version. I would play opening night, IMAX, 3D, surround sound, bullshit, glasses, all in opening night. I would see this version.
That's the first $22.50 this movie's made in the last 15 years. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, there you go. All right, my friend. Well, enjoy the rest of your vacation.
Thanks, sir.
I hope you get like the most Maryland thing of all and have like 8 bushels of crabs. fuck, now I want crabs. God damn it. There's no good place in Rockford for fucking crabs. All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your vacation.
Thanks, sir.
And don't get burned too much.
I promise nothing. I don't come back till Saturday, so nice. I got a lot of days left.
Cool, man. All right. See ya.
Later, Internet.